Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Podcast Network Asia.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
I said, give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zayda Zay.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
You need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks.
Hey everyone, this is Jeff Cobb.
I'm Lewis Howley. I'm Sam Spoker. We are Pretty Deadly. Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
Hello, my name is Zina Dragunov, the star, the NXT UK champion, and you're listening to the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast. My name is Ro Moran.
Woo! Yay!
That guy you just heard was Rowan ASH. Below me, not literally, is Emil ASH, who is in Dunder Mifflin at the moment. OT kaya sa Dunder Mifflin ngayon, eh?
Yeah.
And we are here tonight. San is not with us because he has some big boy stuff to do tonight. And China is still not with us because he is in a different part of the world. And in that part of the world, it is currently around 3 or 4 a.m. So before we get into, you know, the usual talk, how are you guys? How's everyone?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm having my first week of the 2-week break. I just had my finals exam last week. And thankfully, I passed my subjects that I was afraid of failing off.
Congrats, congrats. Neil, how are things at Dunder Mifflin?
Things are fine. Everything is fine. Third week or fourth week ko na dito sa Manila. Just spending some time here closer to family. So everything's good. Everything's great.
Yeah. Hope we can, you know, have you here for a longer term, you know, but you got to do what you got to do. Anyway, hello everyone. Good evening. It's a pretty sad week in wrestling, all things involved. And we'll be talking about all of that. Don't worry, we will help you process all of your feelings for our dearly departed friend, Jay Briscoe. But before all of that, Champion, we got to do a little housekeeping at first. We have to talk about our Patreon program. We are still figuring out what to do, but we have settled on this little thing for WWE Premium Live Events. What we'll be doing is, we know that you have your Disney Plus subscriptions. Most of you do, because it's really affordable. But you might be missing the live party atmosphere that you usually get when you're doing a live watch party with us at Skinny Mike. So we won't be doing that yet because we don't know how reliable the platform is. But if it does turn out to be great moving forward, then we'll think about doing those live watch parties in person. But until then, we can only offer you a place where you can banter and trade your feelings with fellow wrestling fans like myself, Rowan, Emil, Stan, while he's working, and a whole bunch of other guys as well. You can do that by subscribing to our Patreon program, patreon.com/wrestlingwrestlingpodcast, for as low as $5. That's only 275 pesos. So it's that cheap. You can still afford it. Hindi pa siya kasing mahal ng sibuyas. You get access to our Discord community where we talk about a whole bunch of things like sports, TV shows. We share memes, talk about sneakers, and we talk about wrestling as well, and where we do the watch parties. And you also get exclusive review content, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, Rampage, pay-per-views of both WWE and AEW, live events here in the Philippines, care of Rowan, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And you also get merch. We have our face masks. We just sent out a face mask to one of our friends who signed up for our Patreon program. And then, siyempre, we have pasabays as well. One of our friends as well just got spotted outside wearing a Kenny Omega shirt. And he got asked, "Saan ho yun?" And he said, "Eh, nasa Wrestling Wrestling Podcast Patreon siya. Nakapasabay siya with us when we buy from WWE Shop, Shop AEW, Pro Wrestling Tees." Yeah. Ninong Derv says the $10 is... No, it's $5, Ninong Derv. So the $5 is cheaper than a kilo of onions here in the Philippines. Patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast for as low as $5. The URL is ticking down at the bottom. Go check it out. And please support us if you like what we do. All right, time to get to business. So yesterday, we learned some pretty sad news. Nina tayo tulog nun when we found out. We were up and at him. We were going about our morning, whether it was at work or at school or at home. Tony Khan tweeted all of a sudden that Jim Pugh or Jay Briscoe suddenly passed away. And it was a shock. I say the guy had just tweeted 5 hours before Tony Khan made the announcement. And then we found out it was because of a car accident. And then the police report said that two people died in the car crash, Jay and the other driver. And his children, his two daughters, are in critical condition in the hospital. And turns out that Jay was not wearing a seatbelt. And whether or not, I mean, I don't think it makes a difference at this point, because I guess it was a pretty bad enough crash that would cause this kind of fatality. And it's just pretty sad. As you guys know, as most of you know, Jay is still the half of the current Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. They just won the championships from FTR last month. And it's just pretty bad. Everyone is shocked. It goes to show that tomorrow, or not even later today, is guaranteed. Right? So, I mean, I wanted to talk about Jay first. I was a fan of the Briscoes because I had decided to follow early 2010s Ring of Honor. And that was when they were starting to come into their own. The late 2000s Ring of Honor was still all about the single stars that you guys know right now. So now Samoa Joe, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson. And then now in that period, it was all about the Briscoes. And the Briscoes were so good that they were the pillars of the Ring of Honor tag team division. And Jay was also so good that they ended up giving him a singles push and making him the ROH world champion at one point. So that's how good he is. That's how legendary he is. And to be still that relevant, even after that time, even after a long time, goes to show you how good he really was. But we don't just remember people because they were good wrestlers. We just also remember them because they were good people. And by all accounts, Jay was apparently a pretty good guy backstage and everybody loved him. And it's things like this that make this loss even more sad and even harder. So I wanted to give you guys the opportunity to talk a little about Jay Briscoe.
Okay, so actually, I was asleep when the news broke out.
Right.
Because I work like in the night. So, and then immediately after work, you know, I sleep. So nalaman ko to when I first thing I woke up in the afternoon, and it hit me like a truck, because also the same feeling I had when Kobe died, it was all out of nowhere. And also when Brody Lee died. So yung mga talagang hindi naasahan na nangyari. And it was shocking. I mean, looking at his Twitter, he was just tweeting hours before that. So it was also because of a car accident. So napaka-unfortunate lang, because Jay Briscoe is one of the staples of the generation of the mid-2000s until like mid-2010s. No? He was one of the guys, one of the well-known independent wrestlers. And when you hear the term Ring of Honor, the first name I think that pops into my head is Jay Briscoe. You could argue he was the franchise player of Ring of Honor until Tony Khan bought it last year. I mean, he still is up until his untimely demise. Of course, there are more popular wrestlers out there that started and made their names in Ring of Honor, but all of them left for greener pastures. But Jay was the one who stuck with the company through and through, and he became the number one guy for Ring of Honor during the 2010s, whether it was teaming with his brother Mark, with the Briscoes, who he shared 13 Ring of Honor tag team titles with, or just being a singles guy competing for the ROH world title and, you know, for the ROH TV title on a consistent basis. Now, you can say that he is Mr. Ring of Honor, but unfortunately, there is a reason why major companies, wrestling companies, didn't get him during his prime. It was because of the controversial comments he made a few years ago or a decade ago. But I'm not going to let that define his life and his career, because he apologized for it. He was accountable for his actions and he changed for the better. And that's a major character development. And for me, that is just a big of an accomplishment as anything that he did in the ring. So, napaka-untimely lang talaga ng pagkawala ni Jay Briscoe, because I think yung paparating na TV show ng Ring of Honor, TK was gonna center it around the Briscoes, because TK had the Briscoes win the tag team titles at Final Battle. So there were really plans for the Briscoes to continue appearing under the Ring of Honor banner. So prayers to the family. I hope that the girls are safe, and also to his brother Mark. Again, it's a tough thing to deal with death. So rest in peace to Jay Briscoe.
Yeah. Mark's birthday won't be the same anymore. Yeah, but about Jay Briscoe, hindi ko talaga nasubaybayan yung career niya. And I kind of regret not watching one of his final matches, which is
you can still watch it. I mean, like, it's not like it's live and it's gone forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's still shocking to me then. Kasi when a wrestler who is active competing, who's in the prime of their career, nakagulat talaga na mamatay na sila. Just like what Emil said, like Brody Lee. And noon, way back, si Eddie Guerrero. It's just really shocking that Jay Briscoe died. All I can say is, I wish I watched Ring of Honor. I was more open-minded back then. Ako kasi, nakuha ako sa intimidation with their presence. I think they look too violent, kaya hindi ako nanood ng Ring of Honor. I do regret it. But yeah, as for the things that he said in the past, what's important is that he owned up to his mistakes from the past, and he was accountable for it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, so Glendale was asking earlier about why they were banned from TV. So you mentioned the Emil was about his comments about homosexuality, about the LGBT. That's why they were banned from TV. Somebody from Warner Brothers, the parent company of TBS, TNT, they don't want them to be on AEW programming. So that's why you can only see them on ROH pay-per-views. And that's the reason why the Jay Briscoe tribute show, which they taped earlier today, could not be on TV. I guess that's why they couldn't make this week's Dynamite a tribute show. Because somebody from Warner Brothers still doesn't trust Jay Briscoe. It's sad because a lot of people vouch for him and say that he's not that guy anymore. And he has actually apologized many times for those comments. And it's almost sad that he got canceled by the powers that be without even getting a second chance. And it's even sadder that he's already gone and they couldn't give him that chance. So that's pretty tough. But the good thing is you can watch the Jay Briscoe tribute show on ROH, I think, later this week or this weekend. I know they'll be putting that up for free. So yeah, we don't know how they'll go on from here. But the wrestling world really suffered a great loss in the death of Jay Briscoe. Leo, I think sa tribute show nila gagawin yung 10 bell salute. But yes, it was pretty sad that they couldn't do a 10 bell salute on Dynamite. And the most they can do was wear the J armband. Yeah. So stay tuned na tayo for the YouTube show.
I think we should acknowledge that there was a segment booked for NXT na hindi na sadly nag-coincide sa death ni Jay Briscoe. It was supposed to be like a funeral segment regarding Pretty Deadly's number one contender title reign, or parang ganun, number one contender for the NXT tag titles, hosted by the New Day. Props to them na they didn't hesitate to cancel that segment agad. And I also like that kahit hindi kilala si Jay Briscoe in the WWE, I think inacknowledge siya ng commentators and they paid their respects for the death of Jay Briscoe.
I also like Triple H acknowledging it on Twitter. Like, you also kind of can tell that Triple H was scouting the Briscoes for NXT because he keeps tabs on the indie world a lot more than Vince does. And Vince would have never let him or the NXT guys mention Jay Briscoe on air. Because, well, that was Jay Briscoe. He doesn't give a shit about the world outside. But okay, let's move on. And speaking of Vince, so it was reported earlier this week that Vince McMahon is back in the office. But still, let's reiterate that he is not back as the head of creative. I'm sure that if you saw Raw this week, that was still pretty much a Triple H production. That was still a Triple H written show. The rumors are saying that Vince is only giving suggestions to creative, and then it is up to Triple H whether he wants to take those suggestions or not. And it's also worth noting that nobody involved with the show wants him back. The wrestlers don't want him back. The production doesn't want him back. Creative doesn't want him back. Maybe Kevin Dunn is the only person who really wants him back. And syempre may sabi-sabi din that if he comes back to creative,
I think a lot of the wrestlers may, a huge emphasis on may, they may walk out of the company. So that is a lot of bad feelings toward Vince. And I think that even if you're as stubborn as Vince, I don't think you want to risk jeopardizing your show because you have some major heat with the roster. I mean, like, not even he can pull it off. Because, hey, who are you going to get to run the show if nobody wants you there, diba? If everybody walks up because you came back. What do you guys think, Emil? What do you think of this news? Do you think Vince is only a matter of time before he takes over Triple H's job?
Honestly, medyo ano ako eh. Medyo sus ako dito eh. Because the fact that Triple H have to reiterate to the talent that he's still in charge. Vince is not coming back. And when you say it multiple times, you're kind of leading into, yeah, maybe it's not true. Maybe Vince is on his way back, which I really don't like. Again, we had a few months of Triple H being in control of creative, and it's been a hell of a lot better product than it was under Vince McMahon, especially in the last 6 months or so. Yun lang yung detail na di man natatakot, pero, you know, looking into it a bit more than a lot of people do is that, you know, he had to meet with a talent on both shows and he keeps repeating it. And people keep repeating that creative for now is still under Triple H. We may not know in a few months or a few weeks if it's still going to be the same, but medyo nakakatakot yung fact that Vince is back in the office. Paunti-unti yung nangyayari. Last week, it was Vince back in the WWE. And then he's now the executive chairman again. And then now this week, he's back in office. So what else could happen in the next few weeks or months? Like now, we're saying that he's not going to interfere with creative. But again, he is in position of power and of control. He can pretty much do whatever he wants. So kung natripan niya na bumalik sa creative, he can do that. And that is a scary thing to think about.
Oh, Rowan.
Oh, natatawa ako with what you said, Rona. Oh, Vince is suggesting, pero tignan natin kung papayag si Triple H. I can just imagine para siyang saling pusang groupmate sa project who's suggesting tapos hindi naman natutuloy yung maganda niyang suggestion, quote unquote. But yeah, nasabi na rin ni Emil yung sasabihin ko. Like, nakakatakot that Vince could go back to creative and ruin everything. And with that, it could lead to walkout. And ako, hindi naman sa natatakot. Parang, oh, this is interesting. Kasi imagine if those stars that walked out, kahit dun sa ano pa lang, dun sa Saudi deal na fake news, kahit dun pa lang, I wonder if these stars walked out, how much would the programming be affected and the storylines would be affected? Like, sobrang gulo, magkaka-revolution dyan for sure. And yeah, I think it's inevitable. Sadly, it's bound to happen. Vince might go back to creative and he might even show up on Raw 3 next week.
Yeah, there is always that risk. Who knows? I mean, although Getskidaman, if he shows up at Raw 30, because it is the 30th anniversary of Raw and he did create Raw. So that much together, that's fine. He can appear on screen, but he can't run the show. So that's still his son-in-law's job. Somebody also mentioned here, Fred, you know, he mentioned that there are a lot of cases rising against him. They are being brought forward. So it's also a matter of, even though he has controlling power, there is still a degree of strategy that you have to consider before you go back. It's like I said, you just can't go back and assume that everything is fine the way you left it, because it's not. It's been 6 months. People have been free to air their displeasure toward Vince McMahon. And since he's not the boss anymore, he wasn't the boss for 6 months, they can say whatever they want to say about him and they can feel whatever they want to feel about him. And by all measures and standards, everything was a lot better without him. So let's see if he's going to not finesse this at all. Anything else you guys wanted to add about the Vince situation before we go to break?
Ito pa, nakalimutan ko sabihin earlier, no? The fact that the talent are, you know, afraid or they don't want Vince to come back speaks volumes to how bad creative was under Vince McMahon's control. Siguro in the last 2 years of Vince being in charge, you could tell, like, even the talent knows how bad it is under Vince. And yun pa lang, parang alam mo na na, na eh, talagang ayaw na ng tao na bumalik si Vince whatsoever, especially on the creative side. So, yun.
Saying hey to Matt Scott of the Wrestling Wrap Up, and he says, thankfully, Vince is only getting older and older. Well, he's not getting old fast enough. So, when is Father Time going to catch up? He's still got legs. So, we can only hope. All right, it's time for a break. Before we get into the past week of wrestling, let's take a break and listen and hear from our fellow podcasts from Podcast Network Asia.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. No Kumu. I've stopped airing on Kumu because, I don't know, that doesn't pay any dividends. We will try something different by next week. We have something being prepared. Once we, you know, iron it out, and we hope that it would be a better, bigger platform, if you will, for the Wrestling podcast. Okay, let's move forward and talk about the events from last week's SmackDown. Okay, so we talked about this on the Picks of the Week episode, which we dropped last Tuesday. And if you haven't listened to that, you should go listen to that, because we go into this a little more in depth. But we'll talk about it, like, you know, with you guys, because I'm sure that you guys want to talk about it as well. So last Friday on SmackDown, we had Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, you know, for a chance, and not even for a chance, but for Sami Zayn to soften up Kevin Owens before he faces Roman Reigns next week at the Royal Rumble. And the match was going swimmingly. In fact, Sami was about to win. It looked like he was about to deliver the finishing blow before the Usos and Solo Sikoa interfered and trashed Kevin Owens, leading to the DQ. And then Sami acted the hell off by selling yung despair niya about not being given the chance to finish it, and his bafflement, if you will, at the fact that the Bloodline doesn't seem to trust him to get the job done. So a lot of good acting all around. And it shows you that things are not as well as they seem over at the Island of Relevancy. Rowan, as the resident SmackDown reviewer, what did you think of all this? About where the story was going?
So the match itself, I just want to say it's one of the only few good matches that ended via disqualification due to interference. It has to happen. Meron siyang reason. It has a purpose why it happened, because it is to add drama between Sami, Kevin, and then with the Bloodline. So, dapat makikita nyo rin with storylines is that yung facial reactions, like the tiny details, dapat pinapansin nyo rin yun eh. So, yun yung napansin ko kay Sami Zayn. He has this look in his face na, I'm about to win. I want to win fairly. I don't want your help. I don't want you guys to interfere in my business. I think this should be between me and Kevin Owens. Pero in the end, parang ano, he's trying his best na makisama with the Bloodline, even though parang labag sa kalooban niya, which is good. And I love this drama. I can't wait for the Royal Rumble, actually. I wonder how the finish of Kevin versus Roman would look like.
Yeah, I think it's going to be different from the last time they faced each other. Okay, Emil, what do you think? Who is turning on who? Is Sami turning face against the Bloodline? Or is the Bloodline turning even more heel against Sami? Who is going to beat the other to the punch?
I actually said this now on, I think, last week's stream, and also on the Pick of the Week episode. No? At this point, now it's more clearer to me that it's going to be Sami Zayn who's going to turn on the Bloodline. Because nare-realize na niya na the bloodline is just using him for their advantage. In Sami's mind, he belongs to the bloodline, but for the bloodline, parang ginagamit lang siya. And the sooner he realizes that, the sooner he's gonna snap on the bloodline. It's gonna be glorious for all of us to see. Yung analysis ko kasi dito sa storyline na to, no, is like, Roman is okay with Sami like just being another guy who hangs around him, like one of his posse or whatever. Now, he can't take it that Sami is starting to get over with the fans and starting to get more cheers than him. I think that's also why he's going to have the acknowledge me ceremony next week on Raw, purely for ego purposes of his character. But yun, going back to Sami Zayn, no, para kung sa movie, umabot na tayo sa conflict eh. Papalapit na tayo sa climax. And the climax, I think, will happen at the time between the Rumble and the Chamber. And it's going to be Sami turning on the bloodline. And yung sinabi ko nga din last week, no, the scenario that I'm making up in my mind is both Sami and Roman is going to be inside the chamber, and it will go down to a point where it's going to be just Roman and Sami in the ring. And ano mangyayari yun, I feel like. So just fantasy booking at this point. Pero point means I think Sami will turn on the bloodline.
Okay, sige. My only thing is that Roman tends to be written as someone who makes really weird decisions. Because on one hand, they try to paint him as a tribal chief that's streets ahead, right? But a lot of the times, he makes these really weird, hot-headed decisions that undermine him. But still, I guess it makes sense. Siempre, he hits two birds with one stone here in that Kevin Owens gets beaten up really badly, and then he also gets to fuck with Sami Zayn, right? In his head. So, okay, I can see that, I guess. And I want to see what they do this week on Friday. I guess that's the whole thing that they managed to get us to do here. So kudos to them and kudos to Sami as well for acting the hell out of this segment. If anything, this solidifies my desire to see him win at WrestleMania. Diba? Kasi at this point, how do you not root for Sami Zayn and not expect him or not want him to get the biggest prize in WWE? All right, let's move on. On Raw, a few days ago, we finally got a confirmation that Cody Rhodes is officially entering the Men's Royal Rumble match 2023. First question I will throw to the jury. Was it a good idea that they announced Cody ahead of time before the Rumble? Anyone can start.
Oh, I want to start on this one. So, you know, if they announce someone, or whether they announce someone or they don't, parang yung element of surprise si Rana rin eh. Kasi even if they don't announce it, parang people would talk about it. They would make predictions that, oh, Cody would be back. Actually, it's not really much of a prediction. Parang it's written on the wall now. It's really obvious na babalik si Cody. So they might as well announce it right ahead. Like, wala nang special presentation on the Royal Rumble. They can just say it right now that Cody will enter. I mean, it's not like, oh, Cody's gonna win. Wala naman sinabing ganun. It's just Cody is gonna return. That's it.
Okay. So you are leaving space for the Holy Spirit and saying that it's not a lock that Cody's winning.
I would say, ako gusto kong manalo si Cody personally. Pero
that's not what they're saying. It's not what they're saying.
Okay, but for me, that's what I want to happen. But it might not happen.
Okay. Emil, what do you think? Should they have left him as a surprise?
Originally, when I was making the notes for this episode, ang nasa notes ko dito is I think it's fine that they announce him beforehand and have these vignettes to build up his upcoming return, because they did the same for Triple H in 2002. They built him up and have these vignettes, and then he returned to that amazing pop in MSG that led him all the way to winning the Royal Rumble that year. Kasi alam na din naman ng tao na babalik si Cody at the Rumble eh. Like the moment he got injured at Hell in a Cell, people were already fantasy booking him returning at the Rumble. So might as well just, you know, let the cat out of the bag. But I saw this video earlier before the show of the return of John Cena in 2008. And like, bakit di na lang ganun? Like, that would have exploded the place if they went that route. So, you know, but nangyari na yung nangyari. It was already announced like his return towards the Rumble. And but sayang, we could have gotten another Cena moment because it's almost the same circumstances. Like he tore his pec. Cena also had a torn pec that projected that he was going to be out to like a year. And then he returned, you know, yung recovery time was shorter than that. So we could have had that, but we already know that he was going to come back at the Rumble. We were already picturing it once he got injured. So I guess it's a good thing. Just build him up, have these vignettes for his Rumble return. So
my take on it is I think he just wanted the attention. Like we all know Cody. We know that he wanted to be in the top company of the world. He wanted to have the spotlight on him. So he was denied that when he was preparing to go to WrestleMania, when he returned to the company. So now that they already got that surprise pop out of the way, I think he wanted to do it right this time and tell everyone beforehand that, hey, this is what I'm doing. I want you to vocally anticipate me at the Royal Rumble. So that's just my amateur psychological reading into what he did. Right though, Emil. You're right in saying that everyone already predicted him to be appearing at the Rumble, but also because he fed those rumors, I think. He didn't really shut up about it. I think he had Brandy talk about it. Right? Brandy said that he was looking fine. I think it was sometime last month. So I think he really just wanted the attention for it. It's weird to say, because I don't want to trash Cody or anything, but it sounds like a very Cody thing to do, you know?
I think they already announced this in advance because Cody Rhodes is not going to be the surprise entrant in the Rumble. It's going to be The Rock. Who's going to be the surprise entrant?
Yeah, I knew that that's where the conversation was going, but let's talk about that next week when we're actually predicting the event. same. Yeah, but we'll talk about that next week. So, yeah, there's a lot to be said about that, and we will not waste it tonight because I mean next week. All right, so yeah, let's move on to the next slide. So on Raw, the footprints of the Hurt Business have been seen all over the show. It's not just a backstage segment anymore in which MVP tried to woo Bobby Lashley, but it's also MVP getting involved in this tag match between the Street Profits and Cedric and Shelton. He also brought Omos out to help Lashley in the six-pack main event. So it's more obvious than ever that the Hurt Business are going to be reforming as a unit. And it's only a matter of when, not if. So I think by the Rumble, or after the Rumble, magkakabalikan na sila lahat. Rowan, you had feelings about this tag match.
Oh, yeah. So I was watching this, and when it was promoted on the show, I was like, okay, I think slowly babalik na talaga ang Hurt Business. It's really confirmed. They're going to win, and they need this win. Tapos bigla silang natalo. And I was like, what the hell? Why? I mean, if you're going to build someone up, like, if you're going to build up na babalik na sila, you might as well give them the win, diba? Like, it just doesn't make sense for me. The Street, is there something at stake then? For Hurt Business siguro. Pero for the Street Profits, wala naman. So, yun lang yung dito gets.
Yeah, that was super weird. I thought they were building up the Hurt Business. And even though they kind of get built when they had a good showing, the fact that they lost, especially with MVP's interference, was not a good look at all. So that just kind of undid the great effort that they made in that match. So at least aligned tayo dun. Emil, do you think Omos joining the Hurt Business is a good idea?
Yes. I was actually happy when Omos was there to help Bobby Lashley because although yung reaction ni Bobby Lashley, like he feuded with Omos not too long ago, parang di pa sila batay ni Bobby Lashley. But I liked it because we talked about this when the rumors of the Hurt Business returning came up. We talked about it on the show and I think I was the one who asked what are the prospects of Omos joining the Hurt Business, and we all said that it's going to be good because he can be, you know, the muscle. He can be the true muscle of the Hurt Business. And fit siya with the Hurt Business, and I'm glad they're going this direction because there's so much they can do with Omos being there. So plus, it's also going to be beneficial for Omos, who has been, you know, he's been stuck ever since Triple H took over. So di pa natin masyado nakita si Omos ever since Triple H became in charge of creative. And now I think this gives him something to work on. And I'm just glad that even though hindi pa nangyayari, he's going to be a part of it once it happens.
Yeah. I also think that Omos would be a good fit for the Hurt Business because it's for veterans of the ring. And a guy who needs as much seasoning as Omos will only be good for his career. Diba? I want the Hurt Business to be a thing. I want them to be a great thing, a great stable, because Vince McMahon never really knew what to do with them. And I think Triple H does. A Triple H-led or a Triple H-written Hurt Business is, you know, good for business, all things considered. So we're waiting. Yes, go ahead.
A lot of people are mentioning Batista here. And sinabi mo nga, there are four veterans in Hurt Business. And do you think, kung magme-mentor sila kay Omos, do you think he will be like the next Batista? Like, in a sense?
No, because they're not the same type. I think, you know, Omos is in the mold of like a great Kali, not Batista. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Anything else you guys wanted to add about the Hurt Business? Anything you want to get off your chest?
Yung sa Omos, yung question ni Rowan, I want to answer that. Omos, I think, once he improves in the ring, he can be in the same role as Braun Strowman. Like, he's going to be, if you need a big guy match, you can go to Omos. And he can pull it off the same way as Braun Strowman can work like a big man match as well. So, wala pa si Omos nun. He's still green in the ring. I mean, he's just been wrestling for like how many years. So, him being surrounded by veterans, it's going to be beneficial for him.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty much the consensus here. Okay, next item on the slide from AEW today. A lot of things happened, but a big storyline thing happened in that Saraya and Toni Storm, both WWE alumnae, turned on Willow Nightingale. And I think Hikaru Shida by association. So I saw this coming. I mean, I saw this coming because I saw the show after I saw the tweets. And they were pretty much giving it away. There's a segment that they did with Hikaru Shida backstage before the match. And it's interesting. It's an interesting shift that they made. But I wanted to get your thoughts, Emil. What did you think of this this turn that was written by Tony Khan?
I like it. I like it because they were already booed last week in their tag match, the Forum, when Dynamite was in the Forum. And parang common sense din to just turning heel because they were getting heel reactions anyway. And people are really behind Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter lately. So, I don't know. Parang common sense siya for me. And plus, it also gives, parang ano, if there's going to be a double turn and Britt and Jamie turn faces, people are just going to be behind them more. And Saraya and Tony turn them heel. Ganun lang din. Instead of like doubling down on Saraya and Tony being baby faces, they will just get more boos and negative reactions to them. I like the move, and this is going to be a start of a storyline that will revolve everyone in the women's division.
I think the problem was, okay, they got booed last week, and then maybe they got booed before that, but there wasn't really a big reason for the sudden attitude change, you know?
I think they were only booed because they were speculating that it was going to be Mercedes Moné.
Exactly. Yeah. There's that.
Masyadong sensitive of the crowd. Pero, and then if that is the reason for them to capitalize na mag-heel turn na fully si Saraya and si Toni Storm, that's just dumb for me. That doesn't work for me. There's no way to justify it. Something that I would say.
Yeah, the Tony Khan didn't really work hard for it. Like, you mentioned last week that they got booed because the partner wasn't Mercedes Moné. But is that really worth a heel turn, just being booed for one night? Because you weren't who they expected you to be? Like, that's super weird. And I think that was a weird knee-jerk reaction that Tony Khan isn't really known for, you know? And it's weird that he decided to do this because he could have done it, but he could have done it in a better way. Like, if people really wanted to boo Saraya and Toni Storm, maybe you should give them a real reason to boo the two instead of just deciding that, okay, they're heels because they got booed last week. So this is sad. Maybe this is better off for them. Maybe Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker are better off as faces. But let's get to point B in a much better way. You know, it just sucks.
At least they should have tried like yung Roman Reigns type of face run. na kahit binubu siya, like push them as faces, although they are getting booed, and then find the right time na gawin mo silang heel. That's what I would say.
I don't think you need to push them as faces. I just think you need, if you really wanted to start the heel turn, you could have just decided to start a slow process into getting
right,
there.
Sorry.
Yeah, diba? Not just, okay, shit, na ano ko, na nagulat ako, na binubu pa na sila, yun dapat na baby faces ko. Baka dapat, ano ko na. Baka dapat, ano, i-turn ka na sila agad kasi they're failing. But, you know, it doesn't work like that. A properly run organization, a properly written story doesn't work like that. And it kind of goes to show you that Tony Khan isn't really interested in telling a proper story here. He just wants to find the next quick fix for the women, because the women aren't really drawing as much as he wants. And that's sad, but that doesn't mean you can do whatever you want with them, you know. It's also a good thing then that Ruby Soho and Willow Nightingale did a good match with Ty JAS last Friday on Rampage, as Ina mentions here, chat. That was fun. You guys should go watch it. That's a lot better women's storytelling than whatever is happening around here, around the main event, just to show you where everything is happening, just to properly contextualize everything, you know. Emil, did you have anything else to say about the points that I just raised?
Ayan, narealize ko actually na, ano, rushed nga siya eh. Like, I think also, Jamie and Britt are getting more face reactions na TK is afraid that wala nang main event credible heel that you could match with them. That's why he immediately turned Tony and Saraya into heels so that Jamie and Britt can work with someone. So, again, pwede naman umabot sa ganito, but they rushed everything. They just did it in a span of 1 week without even, like, explaining further why they did it. So, yeah. So yeah,
I thought they had something when they got mad at Shida for bringing in the kendo stick. Like, that was a good catalyst for the turn, but that doesn't mean the turn should have happened already. They could have started mistreating or slowly bullying, or, you know, low-key bullying Shida for doing that, right? And then now Shida kind of looks like the idiot here for everything that she did. Pero I hope she gets, like, redemption for that. Last question for this. Because the whole idea of the stable is that they are WWE alumni, is this still a setup for the possibly inevitable Mercedes Moné introduction?
Oh, I want to answer this first.
Yeah, go ahead.
When it comes to AEW, just like last week, and even before, like, they were teasing, or no, not teasing, before they were speculating na Mercedes will appear in, on Dynamite. Ako nilo-lower ko na expectations ko. Eh. Like, I don't want to expect too much because I know I would be disappointed. And as you can see from last week, ang daming nagboo because Mercedes Moné wasn't the partner of Saraya. So, ako, I would say Mercedes will not be involved in AEW for now.
Okay. Emil.
The moment na she didn't arrive in AEW last week, that's when I knew that she's not going to come to AEW anytime soon. So I kind of ruled out that theory of Mercedes possibly being the leader of this, like, main event mafia they're trying to form. Plus, I don't know if she could be like that leader, that big name for a stable like that. So, plus again, yung gusto ni Mercedes is just to work Japan shows. Eh. So, at this point, I don't think she's gonna come to AEW at some point.
Inaisip ako, like, I wonder if Tony Khan is not above saying that. Oh, pinano ko yan eh. Pinano kong itease yung crowd, yung fans na si Mercedes Moné yung darating. Tapos pinano ko na hindi siya lalabas. Tapos pinano ko na ibubunal sa Tony Storm. And that's how I planned the whole heel turn, you know. Anyway, what a mess. And as usual, as much as we want to throw our lot or fully support Tony Khan, it's stunts like this that stop us from going all in, no pun intended, with him. All right, before we talk about our last topic, let's get into another break and hear from our fellow podcasts on Podcast Network Asia.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we've got a little bit of time before we end the show, and we haven't done this in a while, so let's do this. It's Throwback Thursday, and as we all know, Raw 30 is coming up next Monday. Oh, anyway, we will talk about your favorite moments of Monday Night Raw over its 30-year history, and you know, this is to warm us up for the 30th anniversary celebration next week, next Monday. So let's start. Who wants to go first? You guys have been watching Raw for only like a little under 10, a little over 10 years, right? So what are your favorite Raw moments from the time that you have been watching?
For me, my favorite Raw moments were the post-Mania Raws over the last few years. But mainly for me, the 2 years, two post-Mania Raws were that were my favorites were 2012 and 2013. In 2012, we saw a lot of things that happened. I think that was also my favorite because that's when I just started becoming a wrestling fan and I was just so obsessed with everything WWE. And that's where the Yes Movement started. Like, Daniel Bryan didn't even appear on the show, but the crowd kept doing the Yes all throughout the show. And even John Cena acknowledged it. And that was so over that they had Bryan go out post-show and address the crowd to send him home happy. And also, we saw the return of Brock Lesnar. I think that's awesome. The initial return of Brock Lesnar where he F5'd John Cena. And that was a cool moment, one of my favorites. And also in 2013, when the crowd went wild, they invented the Fandangoing. Anybody remembers that?
Fandangoing.
Yeah. And 10 years. So the 10 years actually this year. And also we saw, I think, one of my favorite moments of Dolph Ziggler cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase. That was such a cool moment. But again, also sad in hindsight because Dolph really never realized that potential of being a megastar that he once had. So, but that was a cool moment nonetheless. And another reason why post WrestleMania Raws are cool is because that's where we would see returns, call ups, like maraming surprises ang nabaon with post Mania Monday Night Raw episode. So yeah.
All right, Rowan, what are your favorite moments on Raw?
So ako, if you're gonna ask me that, on top of my head would be something that I saw like few months within my wrestling fandom. So that would be the Nexus debut. So this is really interesting. And parang as a fan, parang hindi ka rin aware that wrestling is fake. It's like these guys are invading the show. Di mo malaman kung is this really part of the act or is this for real. What I liked here is that they just terrorized everyone. They ruined the ring. Sinira nila buong ringside. They attack even the commentators, and especially CM Punk and John Cena. So that was like one of my favorite Raw moments. And next would be The Miz cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase to Randy Orton and winning the WWE Championship. So eto, as I said kanina, medyo baguhan pa ako sa wrestling that time. And ako, I haven't fully understood the concept of Money in the Bank back then. Basta ang alam ko lang, you can cash in. Pero I didn't expect that it would be like anytime talaga, like kahit kakatapos lang ni Randy Orton lumaban. I didn't expect that to happen. And wala pa ako sa mindset na, oh, maybe he would cash in at WrestleMania. Wala pa akong ganung type of speculation.
Oh boy. Parang you're so young.
I just react on what I see.
Okay.
Pero hindi ako advanced pag-isip, so to say.
Yeah, but you also didn't know that this was happening for 5 years. So this is how they had done it for 4 years for that, by that time.
Yeah. But I mean, they explained the rules, pero parang, okay, didn't expect that it would be this very instant, like immediately following the match of Randy Orton they would allow this guy to cash in. Medyo nainis ako noon. I'd say I would be the angry Miss Boy of the Philippines.
Okay, sure. Right, right, right.
Lastly, it would be the CM Punk pipe bomb. So, ito yung, like what I said before, dati nung bata ako, hindi ko naintindihan why he's so mad. Why Punk lashing out on Vince McMahon, everyone in the crowd, John Cena, everybody in the back. Basta nagre-reklamo siya. And I thought he was the bad guy dahil reklamador siya. Pero he's actually telling the truth. That's what we should realize is that heels are always right. Kahit nung ano, when CM Punk was the leader of Straight Edge Society or when after he cashed in on Jeff Hardy, parang he's always right. Even though it might sound insensitive, he's always right. Pero na-realize ko din nga na tama siya. Pero looking back right now with all that happened during the brawl out, talking too much and get you in trouble. So yeah.
Yeah. Buti alam mo. My favorite raw moments for the ones that are pretty surprising. So the Punk pipe bomb is definitely among those. The Page main roster call up, because that wasn't rumored as well. They didn't really rumor NXT call ups back then. Tawag dito. The Nexus debut was also pretty fun. They also did not rumor that. So when it all happened, we were all pretty shocked. So those are my three things. I couldn't remember much from the Ruthless Aggression era. Because Raw wasn't always that great back then. So, you know, so you were saying?
I was saying Katie Vick. Baka naabutan mo yun.
No, hindi ko naabutan ng Katie Vick. I wasn't watching Raw regularly back then. And the live sex celebration isn't really something that aged well. Sorry, Fred. It was controversial, yes, but I wouldn't say it's my favorite Raw moment as well. The Raw where Cena threw Edge off of Long Island Sound was pretty funny. Let's read through some of your favorite Raw moments. We have Fred also shares Rowan's pick of The Miz cashing in Money in the Bank. The Stone Cold beer bath to the corporation, also pretty fun. Fred also names the 2013 Raw after Mania, where everyone was mad at John Cena for beating The Rock. Doon ko pala naalala na, okay, people still hated Cena well into the 2010s. Diba? Julian also says the beer truck thing. The Rock concerts, yeah, that was pretty funny. Although they went so overtime because The Rock just likes hearing himself talk. Jeff Hardy's stage dive, the pipe bomb, Brian's face turn versus Bray Wyatt. Ina's, the beer bath as well. Leo also says the DX moments. A lot of the DX stuff was fun. Albert names the Festival of Friendship. Yes, that was also a great Raw moment.
Oh, yeah, man. That was good.
Alala ko yun that week. Parang nag-tweet si Gorgan or was it Ciampa? Like one of them tweeted. Was,
oh, yeah.
Tweeted putting the TV away because one of them might get smashed. So hilarious.
Leo also brings up the 14-minute exchange between John Cena and Roman Reigns where Cena dug deep and redeemed himself in the eyes of the audience of the universe. Albert also mentions Triple H helping Kevin Owens win the Universal Championship against Seth Rollins. So, yeah, Glendale cites a Ruthless Aggression era classic in which Cena versus Shawn Michaels, they went a whole hour in an Iron Man match, I believe it was.
No, so, yeah. I don't think it's an Iron Man match.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's just a normal singles match.
No, because it was weird.
Over an hour.
I think it was Shawn and Kurt Angle who did the Iron Man match.
Yes.
Okay, I have a question regarding this one. The one hour match between Cena and Shawn Michaels. Those who when it was still on Jack TV, was this broadcasted as like the whole match or kinacha? Okay.
See, Jack TV and Solar did not cut the shows.
All right.
They cut the pay-per-views because the pay-per-views were long, but the shows were broadcast as they were. So see, RPN tsaka si Studio 23 lang ang nakakut for time.
Solar TV apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, Solar TV is RPN, so yeah.
Yeah. But you know, that was a free TV, because the cable networks, the cable channels did not cut the shows. Leo also brings up the infamous springboard to the super kick spot by Shawn Michaels to Shelton Benjamin. Will also be a legendary moment for a lot of people. One thing I also remember was the draft, the 2004 draft. So that was pretty fun as well.
I just remembered something. Sorry. What? Last week na lang siguro. It's the first pandemic episode of Raw.
Yes, uh-huh. I remember that.
I was shocked. Like, I remember the Austin 316. They were about to celebrate it. Tapos, Raw has to have no crowd because, you know, the COVID restrictions. Kaya, nakakapanibago, like Stone Cold entering the arena, no crowd reaction. Hindi pa sila nagpa-pipe in ng ano, like ng sounds from 2K, whatever, 2K20. And si Byron lang yung nagre-react, which it's really awkward. It was also fun in a way, pero yeah, we have to go through that, those times.
Yeah, well, when we like celebrate like 5 years of the pandemic, we probably will, but not now because nobody wants to remember the Performance Center era. All right. Ito si Ina, meron pa siyang huling pahabol. Dean versus Seth for the WWE Championship that ended in a draw. Big Dick yes. Johnson. Fred, ang dami.
Of all the things.
Yeah. Mankind won the WWE Championship. Tito Fred, naabutan mo ba yun? Yung the live episode of Raw where, the taped episode of Raw rather, where Mankind won the championship. Then he also has the DX tank segment. John Cena, Chris Jericho's debut on that Raw from 1999. Yon, napanood mo sa network. All right, dami mong picks eh. All right.
Right, just to end this now, I think a lot of us wrestling fans, we take Raw for granted because it's been in existence for so long. But before Raw, wrestling was just you know, syndication lang siya, and it would just be match after match after match. But we have to give credit to Raw for being revolutionary in professional wrestling in terms of inserting storylines in your TV shows. And napaka-revolutionary lang yan. Like, today, sanay na tayo with the format of Raw, but back then, it was really revolutionary. And you got these other companies who tried to emulate the weekly format shows, Nitro, ano pa ba, yung Impact, hell, Dynamite. Without Raw, the weekly format of wrestling wouldn't exist. It would still be like the territory days where once in a while it will be on TV and you'll get to catch it, but you'll never know when it's going to appear again. So change shaped this a whole new generation of wrestling fans that Raw deserves so much credit for. Without Raw, I don't think the world of wrestling would be as big and as popular as it is today. So just want to give Raw some love here before the
podcast. Right, I want to add some point to Emil that back then, I was actually listening to The Bump last night. Shawn Michaels was there talking about Raw 30. And he mentioned that having Monday Night Wrestling is unusual. Because back then, what they would do is every weekend silang
sila. Weekends. Wrestling was a weekend thing.
Yeah, it's a weekend thing. Kaya they have to learn everything nang live. Like, they have to learn like how to come back from commercial break. Like, but they would have that sequence na yung babyface would be the guy who's down now pagka commercial break is over. They have to learn everything from scratch. And then through the years, na turo nila in the next generation. And just like what Emil said, parang ganun na rin yung naging format in other companies like Impact, even in AEW, and so on.
Yeah, I agree with everything Emil said, but also as a local wrestler, Raw kind of, you know, did a number on fans' expectations of wrestling here in the Philippines. Like,
yep.
Now Pinoy fans wanted, you know, PWR and MWF to have weekly television shows, and people expected them to be on TV. Even though we were far from ready for being on TV. Diba? Shempre, it's great, the major league wrestlers, to have something that keeps them relevant, especially now. And it's definitely a good thing for wrestling to be a big thing because it airs every week on TV. It's great for them because they have a long and storied wrestling industry. But for the rest of us, we can only really do like monthly show, and that's how the stories get told. I don't know if Raw is still a grail, but it's also worth mentioning, by the way, si Fred kasi mentions here in the chat, nung panahon na okay pa si Vince. Vince wasn't really ever okay, you know? There was a reason why WCW was better in the 90s than WWE. And there was a reason why the Attitude Era came a little late after WCW's prime. So the only good thing that Vince ever did really was to make Raw, to make the television show. But he wasn't the ones really writing its best parts. We see this now with Triple H. He's the one writing good Raws, not really Vince. And his wrestlers are carrying the quality of the show. I say if they weren't wrestling their asses off, then Raw would be super unwatchable, I think. At the Glendale, sabi niya, early 90s WWE was filled with crazy gimmicks. I think if you would watch the early years of Raw now, you would see how ridiculous it was outside of the big names that you knew back then, like Cena, Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, those guys. So
That's actually true.
Exactly, right?
Kasi ako, for my experience, like there's actually a free Raw episode over on YouTube. The very first episode of Raw, hindi ko siya matapos because I just find it ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So Raw wasn't always good. It was just groundbreaking, yes, but that doesn't mean it was good. It's also proof, I guess, that the weekly television wrestling show isn't always a hit idea for a lot of reasons, because it's hard to tell a story when you have to involve live elements. Like, people can get injured anytime. Accidents can happen anytime. So it's not really the best format for episodic storytelling, but it is what it is, and we have it here, and that's why wrestling is the way it is now, in 2023. People are talking about it, so I wanted to ask you, this is your graduation question from your ASH program. What is the best Raw theme?
Oh no. I can already tell you all got graduated. Oh exactly. My god.
So yeah, let's hear it.
Obviously yung sagot niyo would be Across the Nation, pero I would contradict that. I'll say Burn It to the Ground, since doon ako lumaki.
Same. Actually, I'll agree here with Rowan as well. No, inaabot ako was Burn to the Ground na eh. And I love the Raw intro. I love the Raw theme song of that. So, yun, Burn to the Ground. Yeah, like, depende naman kasi yun, I think, sa perspective nung kusino itatanong mo. If you're gonna ask someone who grew up in the Attitude Era, maybe they're gonna say, yung theme song ng Raw.
That Raw theme was bad. It was really bad. It was iconic, but it was bad.
Or if someone grew up from the Ruthless Aggression Era, they're gonna say, oh, it's Easy Across the Nation. So, or yung To Be Loved by Papa Roach. So, it really depends, but I think, you know, because we answered Burn to the Ground, I feel like you could guess yung ages namin ni Rowan.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. If we picked like Tonight is the Night.
Oh, that was horrible. I don't like that.
We have to bear with that for like 6 years. Tapos, it's always, the authority. Oh no.
I actually scrubbed that from my memory kasi it started getting interesting again when they got NF for the theme.
Ang pangit lang ngayon kasi they changed the intros and the theme regularly eh. It's not like they would stick to one song. It's not like one song it would be for years. Now I'm not even sure what the theme song of Raw is.
I don't know what it is, but I like it. I like today's theme song. So that's pretty fun.
Yeah,
I like rap, and I like it when they would use hip-hop themes. Because it's wrestling. Everybody uses rock and metal in wrestling. That's so stereotypically white male. Like, so boring. But, siempre, my answer is Across the Nation. So that's how I know that you two will be ASHs for a little while longer.
Yeah. All right, I have a last question.
Yeah, go ahead.
We all agree that ever since Raw turned 3 hours, hindi na siya enjoyable.
Yes, but I also get it. If you would read some of my reviews from before, the roster is so big and there are so many talented wrestlers that you kind of do need 3 hours to showcase all of them. Because, Rowan, you watch SmackDown now, and one of your problems with SmackDown is that they would run these quick matches that don't really amount to much. Raw didn't have that problem, even when Vince was in charge, because he could go as long as he wanted because they have 3 hours to fill. And that's where I get the part. But I also, Shempre, I don't like having to sit through 2 hours and 20 minutes without commercials. So I get you there.
The problem with SmackDown being 2 hours lang, tapos sinasabi mo nga, the matches are quick. Another problem would be like having multi-person matches. And napansin mo lately, like in the women's division, puro number one contenders match, multi-women. It's getting lazy. I wish what they would do next time is like a tournament. But anyways, that's SmackDown. We're talking about Raw.
Yeah. 3 hours, yes. But Dynamite also proves that you can do a lot with 2 hours. The only problem with Dynamite naman is you only have one women's match. So there's that. So there's a lot of different pros and cons with 3 hours. Like, I'm starting to become a 3 hour apologist, but only because I have the time to watch it and I make time to watch it. But I totally get it. I don't like sitting through a 3 hour show as well. Emil, what do you think?
May pros and cons, din, just like Glendale said in the comments. May mga pros and cons in 3 hours. If there's so much that is happening, 3 hours is great. If there's so much storylines is going on, so much matches, if you need a long match, for example, one example of this one, remember the Gauntlet match from 2018 when Seth Rollins, I think that was his one of the best matches he had in his career, where yung tumagal siya from the start of the match until the first hour of Raw. You won't get that in a 2 hour Raw because they would also need some other people or other matches. But because of the 3 hour format, you can have those special moments where you could go as long as you want, just like what Rose said here. But pag minsan din, pag wala ding ganap, it can feel like it's dragging. The 3 hours, it can feel like it's almost like 4 or 5. So ganun lang din. So may mga times na the 3 hours is necessary. That's why I like that Raw has permanently transition to 3 hours so that they could go as long as they want without cutting most of the segments that, you know, na gusto din nilang i-ere. So
Glendale, yeah, I do actually want a 3 hour SmackDown. Because I love the SmackDown roster. The only reason why you don't like it is because they don't have time to show you what they can do. The SmackDown roster is so good and they're so handicapped because SmackDown is a 2 hour show. But siempre, I don't want to impose that as well, because that's another hour that you guys have to watch just to keep up with all the wrestling nowadays. And I get it. So that's why SmackDown has to rotate its cast every week. So you don't always get a 10-minute or 12-minute Gunther Intercontinental Championship defense, diba? So as much
siguro,
as you want.
Siguro, if SmackDown would have like a trial, halimbawa, like what Raw would do back in the day, like remember Slammies would be like 3 hours. There are specific episodes that would be 3 hours long lang. Tapos no commercial breaks pa, diba? So maybe they can do that for SmackDown, like if they want to, para mag-experiment lang sila if they want it to be 3 hours.
Yeah, but still, you know, it is what it is. One last thing I will say is that the thing that saved Raw after it went 3 hours is that Triple H stocked up a lot of good workers, wrestlers in NXT. And before that, in FCW. So they got saved by the modern style of wrestling and how good the new guys or this current generation is. So yeah, that's a lot of talk about Raw. We had a lot of feelings about Raw and Serbian anniversary. But rightfully so, though, because it is the longest running weekly episodic wrestling show on TV. And there is a reason why it has lasted this long. Right. So that brings us to the end of the show. Siyempre, we don't have picks of the week anymore here on the live stream. We moved it to an audio-only episode. So please listen to that. We'll come back with the next week's episode on Tuesday. Leave your picks of the week there in the comments of that Facebook post. So dun yun na iwan. And we'll talk about all your picks there. And yeah, we'll have a lot of fun. So before we formally end the show, guys, do you have any plugs to get in before we do, before we go?
Oh, all I can plug is, you know, I mentioned when it's the audio only episode of the first ever pick of the week episode.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah, again, we talked about Bryan Danielson versus Konosuke Takeshi.
Did we actually? Oh, yeah, we did. We did.
Pick me in.
Jake, I have bad memory.
Jake De Leon versus Fabio Makisig and Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada teaming up and so much more.
Yes. All right. Emil.
All right, ayun, plug ko na din yung pick of the week. Now, I really had fun doing that. And so now that we're going to do it regularly, so that's a good thing. No? So please listen to that on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. And also follow me on TikTok at EML_Meister22. I just post sports opinions, sports videos there. So if you want some sports opinions, just follow me there. Also, I'm on Twitter. At EML_Meister. And that's.
You like the video ni Emil na nag Mr. Perfect behind the back siya. That was pretty cool. That was a cool shot. My plugs first. I am a guest on the latest episode of Wrestling After Work. It is my first interview as a wrestling commentator. Just go search Wrestling After Work on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It's over there. And go check it out. It's a really fun interview. It's a lot different from the type of podcast that we do here in the Wrestling Podcast. So I hope to do more of those. And I guarantee you, you will have a lot of fun listening to it. Siyempre, if please support local wrestling, Manila Wrestling Federation is on Gank. Just go to manilawrestling.com to sign up. For only $10, you can pay via credit card, debit card, or GCash. That's around 600 pesos. You get to watch our shows. We just finished putting out the last live event of 2022, Noche Buena. It was separated in parts. You can find there yung pick of the week ni Rowan, which is Jake De Leon versus Fabio Makisig for the MWF Championship, and a whole bunch of other great stuff. You can listen to my commentary if you've been hearing it on social media. There's more where that came from. Yun, please follow us on TikTok as well, Wrestling@Wrestling2XPod. And follow everyone on the Twitter. I'm at Rose War. He is at Monday Night Rowan. At EML_Meister. Stan is at _StanC. Chino is at _ChinoSupersize. And the podcast is at Wrestling2XPod. Yun. So, sorry for an extra long episode. We didn't think we would go this long when we planned it out. But we had a lot of fun, didn't we? So thank you again to our nice friends, our Babyface producers and staff and team at Podcast Network Asia. In a couple of weeks, we will be having our first live episode at the studio, at the brand new Podcast Network Asia studios in Pasig. Rowan will not be there, unfortunately. Emil will be there. Stan will be there. I will be there. And we will have a lot of fun. We will be dissecting the fallout from the Royal Rumble after it happens. All right, guys. Please have a good night. Be safe. Please wear your seatbelts if you are driving outside. Have a great Lunar New Year. Gong Xi Fa Cai. Kung Hei Fa Choi. Whichever language you prefer. Get money. And have a good night. Peace.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.